Welcome to In Him with Pastor Dan Wormuth of Joplin Family Worship Center, located on East 7th Street in Joplin, where they are passionate about sharing the freedom and forgiveness found in Jesus Christ. Now, here's Pastor Dan with this week's edition of In Him.
Now, if you can't find that, you'll know why. But I'm pretty certain that they were quaking in their boots or sandals when they saw that a boy had promptly removed their champion from any position of threatenings for any further. I just still like the Yellow River part. It's in some obscure translation, I'm sure. David will not only rout the enemy that day, but he began to have a name for himself. And the more victories under his belt, the more calamity that comes upon him when Saul is so jealous, he decides to try to take David's life. But the character of God that was established on the backside of the pasture and just on the edge of the desert wasn't quick to fall away from his heart. For he had learned to love the Lord his God and wrote songs to the Lord in the obscurity, in the dark nights, when just the moon and the stars were shining. He sang songs to his God and King. And through it all, the Lord brought him to great victories. Now at this point in this passage of Scripture, David has found himself anointed as king of Israel and Judah. The kingdom is united. David had a friend named Jonathan, and Jonathan was the son of Saul, and Saul's son could see better as a prophet than most prophets. He knew that David was the chosen one. He literally gave his personal armor and his sword to David in an identification of, "You will be king, not I. I honor you." Saul could not stand that. Saul would lose his life because he couldn't follow the direction of the Lord. Jonathan lost his life because he tried to be true to his dad, who couldn't follow the Lord. And now David finds himself as king. He's gathered together with his people, and there he is in Jerusalem. And he asked a question, is there not yet any child, any seed of Saul, is his question, that I could honor and bless? David wants everyone to know Saul is not his enemy. Saul wanted everyone to know David was his enemy. David wanted everyone to know Saul was never his enemy. I'm asking you, can you make that kind of room for a person on the planet? Can you make room for people like that? David did. Is there not? The question was asked. The response is, Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David. They went and they got him. The story is told to David. Well, when he was just a baby, the nursemaid was trying to leave before anyone would kill all of the sons of Saul or Jonathan. And his feet became lame, probably broken, never set correctly. And so here's an adult man who's been hiding in obscurity this whole time, hoping no one will know or recognize that he is a grandson of Saul, that he might try to live out his life, scraping by, never enjoying the heritage that belonged to him by his father Saul, who still was a jerk, but was anointed king. And in this passage of Scripture, as he's brought before King David, Mephibosheth lays down in front of David, falls on his face, and he did basically saying to him, "You are king, I honor you." David responds to Mephibosheth, and he said to him, "Behold your servant." Mephibosheth said, "Behold your servant." David said to him, "Fear not, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, grandfather, and you shall eat at my table always." And the crippled man bowed himself and said, "What is your servant, that I should look upon such, that you should look upon such a dead dog as I am, because he knew he was as good as dead as long as there was any seed of Saul that might rise up to try to hurt David. But hurt was not in Mephibosheth's heart. He was a wounded man already, bruised in every way. King David said to Ziba, Saul's servant, said, I have given your master's son, grandson, all that belonged to Saul, and David restores everything that ever belonged to Saul and Jonathan to Mephibosheth. And then he tells and instructs this man, this servant here, he says, you and your sons will plow the fields, you will grow the crops, you will produce wealth for Mephibosheth, but he will sit at my table. When you and I come to the king's table to eat, your brokenness, your injuredness, your handicap, your struggle, your self-loathing finds itself below the table. At the table level is a plate of the king's food and delightsome conversation. You're given full access to the thoughts, the songs, the smile of the king. At the king's table, all of your brokenness means nothing. All those men who could walk just perfectly to the table had inward brokenness that might not have been seen by men, but God knew where they were handicapped or where they were disabled or where they were injured or where they were marred or scarred. Mephibosheth's was just more open, but they were also internal. But David made room at his table because David was a covenant man. When you and I choose to be people of covenant, we make room for others at the table. In Luke's gospel, there's a man whose son comes to him and says, I want my portion of what comes to me. You know the story. He goes and he spends it in just low down living, finds himself in the pig pen, and says to himself, the hired servants of my father's house eat better than I am. I will go back and at least work for my dad, and he will feed me. On his way back, he's prepared a speech. I've been such a wicked son. I've sinned before heaven and you. And I ask that you would just change. He's already prepared his speech. Don't we do that? We start running back to God or somebody with a prepared speech to try to show we already know how humiliated we are. But Jesus wanted us to see that the Father every day was looking for a son he knew would return. See, Father God already knows that you and I are broken. He knows that some of us have spent time in the pig's pen. Some of us have been in Lodabar, out on the edge of the desert where there's no pasture and no food to grow, no provision. But the king is calling from his throne for us to return. He steps off the throne and he goes out on the edge of the road and he's looking for us. And when he's coming back, he starts to try to get his speech going, and the Father overrides the speech with his amazing love, loving kindnesses and mercies. Why? Because the Father's been making room for you and me all along. The Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Before the world was created, Father had already made preparation. In Philemon, do you mind if we just go ahead and go there? When's the last time someone preached you from Philemon? Happy New Year, everybody. Feast of Trumpets has sounded, and we are now entering into a brand new year, 5782. So Paul is writing to Philemon, and in verse 22 he says, and at the same time, it's chapter 1. If you find chapter 2 of Philemon, let me know, okay? Chapter 1, verse 22. At the same time, prepare a guest room in expectation of extending your hospitality to me. For I am hoping through your prayers to be granted the gracious privilege of coming to you. Isn't that amazing? If you don't mind, I want to read it from another translation that's here. Just talk amongst yourselves for just a second. One more thing, Paul says. Please prepare a guest room for me. Please prepare a guest room for me. For I'm hoping that God will answer your prayers and let me return to you soon. As I was looking at these passages of Scripture and I was hearing the Lord say, make room. It began with him saying this. I heard him say, he's making room for you. Okay. Then I heard him say it differently. I'm making room for him. Oh. So I realized that there was an action on my part. And that's where I found that then when Jesus was knocking on the door and he comes in to eat with us. In that we saw that preparation. I'm asking you today to consider that right now at the beginning of this year, the Lord wants to give you knockout after knockout in the first round of your warfare. Just like prophetically, I talked a little earlier about TJ in his fight last night. That I saw the video, wanted to go, couldn't, but I saw when that fist reached out there, you know, people looking at TJ and he got that smile and he all sweet. But you ought to know there's justice on the other end of that toss when he put that out there. Are you hearing me? He got a longer reach than what folk been thinking about. And when he come into contact with that boy, the moment he hit him, he said to himself, if that don't knock him out, I'm in trouble. Because he knew how hard he'd hit him. And he went, woo, kaboom, and he didn't get up. When I saw it, immediately I heard the Lord say, in the first round of your fights, I'm going to give you victory. Immediately, I remembered, you know, when the Lord begins to speak to you, you got to write that down. You got to make note of it. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not supposed to go the long round after round after round after round. The Lord wants to give us victories in the first round. And the first victory he'd like us to get in the first round is we're going to make room for him. Making room for him. Why? Because he made room for us. The great exchange. Jesus paid at the cross my sin. So get this, he made room for me in his cross. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ now liveth in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh or in this body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He made room for me in the cross, a cross where I should have died myself. He made room for me in his cross that I could live. He made room for me in the tomb where I put to death the things of the flesh. He made room for me in the resurrection that I could come to life. He made room for me at the banqueting table when he told the women, go tell the boys I'm going to meet him over there, and told them where to go, and he showed up. He made room for them again and again and again and again, and he's trying to make room for us today. Lord wants to make room for you. Does that sound good? It does, don't it? But there are way too many people who are excited about he makes room for us, but don't take the next step that I will make room for him. So let's just say that now. I will make room for him. How do I do that? Well, there are some things in my life that are in the way, and I'm going to need for them to be removed. So the Lord will always make room in my life when I choose to give him that place. And then I see where I, as a member of the church, the body of Christ, make room for another. Not just he made room for me in salvation. I make room for him in sanctification. He wants us to make room for the commission. When Jesus began to speak to them and say to them, I want you to go into all the world and preach this gospel, this good news. What is the good news? He made room for you. He made room for you. He transitions us from death to life. In closing, I say to you, he's making room. Will you make room for him? What would that look like? What might it look like when you and I just make, when we make room for another? So the people who are going to be visiting, they think it's, some folk will visit because they're passing through and they're maybe they're a guest, you know, there's some family member or friend you have and they come and they visit. We make room for them and we welcome them. Hey, glad to have you here. There are a bunch of, we are really rowdy for Baptist folk. We're extremely rowdy for Presbyterians. We're really loud for Episcopalians. And we're all of them. Are there any Nazarenes here? Any wave at me, the Nazarenes. Now, they come on occasion. There they are, they're my Nazarenes. So the Nazarenes, you know, we're Pentecostal Nazarenes. You know, the Nazarene Church used to be called the Pentecostal Church of the Nazarene. We're not very loud, though, for born-again believers. Because when you know how you have been changed, when you know you have been saved, when you know, there's a loud volume yet coming for that. There's just something powerful about when we make room for people. I got one more passage of scripture I want to just remind you of. Jesus is telling them about making room in Matthew 25. I think I just have to go there real quick because it's just that important. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, his majesty and his splendor, verse 31, and all the holy angels with him, they will sit on the throne of his glory. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will cause a sheep to stand on his right hand and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to all those at his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, you favored of God and appointed to eternal salvation. Inherit, receive as your own the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger. You brought me together with yourselves. You welcomed and entered and entertained, and you lodged me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me with help and ministering care. I was in prison and you came to see me. Then the just and the upright will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry, gave you food, thirsty, blah, 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 all that. The king will reply to them on that day, truly I tell you that in so far as that you did it to one of the least in the estimation of men. Isn't that interesting? The translation says, in so much that you did it for one of the least in the estimation of men, of these, my brethren, you did it for me. Today, the commission is this. Your brokenness can be settled if we'll make room for him. So I'm going to make room for him. But I can walk in victory if I make room in me for him to live, abide. Not just an encounter here, but daily, every day I live. But the big deal is the one Jesus says here in Matthew 25, is a way we make room for the Lord in caring for, loving those who could not care for or help themselves. Today I ask that you would join me in this amazing day of celebration, that we make room for him, that we make room for the Lord in our life. So, he made room for me, I made room for him, we made room. Room for one another. There's another wonderful passage of scripture that talks about how we make room for one another, and probably that Philemon one is a really good one just to kind of leave it at today, where Paul was so excited. He said, because you've prayed, your prayer's about to be answered. Thank you. Prepare room. I'm coming to be with you, the apostle. Might we let the Lord come and live with us? Might we make room for somebody? Would you stand to your feet with me today? What glorious anointing presence of the Lord today. For freedom, for joy. Pastor Cindy, that lineup was so anointed. All those songs, you triggered me. I kept singing because I couldn't stop, because I was found myself in just such a sense of victory. And I ask you today, ladies and gentlemen, just to say, yes, Lord, I'm making room for you. Prayer teams, would you just come immediately to the front? Because maybe there's someone here today who is saying, I'm struggling to make room for the Lord. They would love to pray with you this morning and show you how to move through the veil that stands between you and the next place that the Lord has for you. What is it? Is it a heartbreak? Is it an unforgiveness? Is it your own personal sin? Maybe this is the day for you to come to know the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, they're coming. The harvest is great. They're hearing the knock. They're going to visit us. When you're in the parking lot, the first words you greet that person with that you've never met before, you're making room for them to feel at home, to be comfortable in this moment. They may come from a background that all of this worship that was happening here, and that's the preacher, the guy jumping and bouncing and trying to kind of get jiggy with it. Yeah, I was happy today in the presence of the Lord. Such a sense that the Lord made room for us. In eternity, I just want to make room for him in my heart, my praise, my worship. What is it that God wants to do? You make people comfortable. You make room for them in that moment, ladies and gentlemen. The greeter at the door, the person in the cafe that offered them a cup of coffee, the person in the foyer that just said, hi, what's your name? Mine is Don Kyler. I remember when Don first told me that from the moment he got out of the car, him and Debbie were feeling just the love of God from the people of God here. They knew this was the place for them. They knew they were home because of the love that you expressed. And now these years later, you are part of that. You find a person you've never met before and you go and you shake their hand. I'm just picking on you, Don, because you got broad shoulders. I just say to you today, your face might be the face that helps them open the door that the Lord might come in. Whatever it is today, if there is an area that seems to be a hindrance, if there's a struggle, if there's an area where you're looking for the Lord to do a work in your life, I'm going to ask that you just make room for the Lord today. One of these prayer partners would be more than willing to pray with you. Maybe the person next to you could just come down with you. That way you're not alone. You're not beside yourself. You just come with them. May I just speak a blessing over you today. I activate the blessing of the Lord that came from the people of God as they begin to worship and praise God today in this house. Such a sense of victory in this house today. And Lord, we say yes to what you're doing, making room. We believe today that our hearts are opening up to what you want to accomplish. So, Father, as we step out of this place today and engage the harvest, our great commission to go and show the love of God, empower us to help people open the door through fellowship, through relationship, through ministry, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting them in prison, ministering to the sick, providing dignity to those who have lost all dignity. The beauty of your humankind, your human race. You, O Lord, have made us, and not we ourselves. We are the people and the sheep of your pasture. We ask that today your presence would overwhelm your people. If you would reach your hands this way, I want to pronounce and pray a blessing over you. The spirit of fear has been served notice this day. The joy of the Lord is being heard in the camp of the people of God. The oil of gladness is flowing. New wine is flowing. The grapes of wrath are no longer on display. For the sound of victory is being heard among the people of the living God. They lift up their eyes and see that the redemption draws nigh. And we grab those who are round about us to let them know this is your appointed time. Father, we thank you that the people of God are now going to walk in a great anointing for the purpose you've anointed them for educators and engineers and doctors and nurses and lawyers and teachers. And Father, in every man and woman working in whatever capacity you assigned them, Father, in sales, Father, in every area that you've given them their skill sets, I thank you that they're anointed to be Jesus in those moments and bring life and liberty for individuals. They will help them to make room. So today I declare grace. Someone said grace. The grace of Jesus Christ is the empowering, enabling force of the kingdom that you live your life in victory. Someone say love. The agape of our Father God wraps arms around us and chooses us and shows us how we are the chosen of the Lord. Every man and every woman, every boy and every girl has been chosen to be loved of God, and we say yes to showing your love to them. May the love of God break through the darkness, set the captive free. Someone say, Holy Spirit, come, empower, enable, infuse your people. May the power and communion of Holy Spirit take us every place we are to go and forbid us to go any place that is not of benefit for your kingdom. Give us an ear to hear, an eye to see, and a heart to worship. Father, we bless you. We thank you for this people of God. And until we are joined together again in presence of worship and celebration, may the assignments you've given us be completely and totally accomplished. And the people of God said, and they also said, I'm making room for him. I'm making room for him. Now tell the person next to you, and I'm going to make room for you too. Please don't step on my toes on your way out. I commission you to have an amazing and wonderful and exquisite lunch. If I might say it in the French language, bon appétit. May you enjoy, have a good appetite, enjoy the goodness of the Lord. Walk in his presence today. As you have made room for him, he has truly made room for you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to In Him with Pastor Dan Wormuth of Joplin Family Worship Center. Listen to this broadcast again at KNEO.org. You can also download a podcast version of today's message by searching KNEO on iTunes. Joplin Family Worship Center is located on East 7th Street in Joplin and has ministries for all ages. They invite you to join them this week for Sunday morning worship at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evening service at 7 p.m. Find out more at jfwc.org. or facebook.com/Joplin Family Worship Center. Follow Pastor Dan on Twitter at Daniel H. Wormuth. Thank you for listening. And remember, in him, you are free.